Welcome to Innovative Leaders Driving Thriving Organizations. I'm your host, Maureen Metcalf. I'm the founder and CEO of Metcalf & Associates. I work with leaders and their organizations to identify the trends that will most likely disrupt their business and develop business strategies and business and leadership practices to leverage these trends to create strategic advantage. I'm a regular contributor to Forbes and the lead author on an award-winning book series focusing on innovating how you lead and transforming your organizations. I'm also an adjunct faculty member at universities in the U.S. and Germany. I am delighted to have Alex Fisher with us as our guest. Alex is the president and CEO of the Columbus Partnership, a civic leadership organization formed in 2002 of Columbus, Ohio's top business leaders to improve the economic and cultural base of Central Ohio. The partnership is helping to lead the Columbus 2020 Economic Development Effort, which is a collaboration of regional economic development organizations. Members of the partnership are chairpersons and chief executive officers of Columbus's largest companies and institutions and include 15 Fortune 1000 CEOs. The Columbus Partnership played a key role in winning the U.S. Department of Transportation's Smart City Challenge to bring $50 million of grant funding to the city and receive official designation as the Smart City of North America. Under Alex's leadership, the city of Columbus and the Central Ohio region have grown dramatically in ways that the Harvard Business Review talks about as the, quote, Columbus way. In their case study of the Columbus Partnership, a group focused on increasing the vitality of the region. So, Alex, I'm delighted that you're able to join us.
It's great to be with you, Maureen.
So let's start with, what is the Columbus Partnership, and why have you chosen to dedicate your time now to running this organization?
So we are a group of CEOs who are passionate about our community. Mm-hmm. So 10 years ago, we were a dozen CEOs. Today, we are over 65 CEOs who come to our boardroom table and leave our selfish interest at the door, bring our community interest to the table. I often talk with our leaders about the idea that we're not your typical trade organization that exists to service our members. Rather, we use our members' participation in our organization to go out and do good in the community. And so I often say, we vote with our membership's proxy in doing community work, whether that's economic development, downtown redevelopment, whether it's thinking about public policy issues, and a host of activities. Our main focus is on economic development and economic prosperity for all here in Central Ohio. But as such, that has lots of tentacles that go to many areas of the community.
So can you give a few examples? Because these are great words, and many communities probably say they do the same thing.
You know, I'm sure that at some form they would say it, and at some form every community does do the same thing. Some examples, you know, very specifically would be the creation of our Columbus 2020 program.
Okay.
So 10 years ago, we were curious about our community's economic development performance compared to peers. And we took a group of CEOs, and at that time, then Mayor Michael Coleman, to go and visit Austin and the Research Triangle and Minneapolis and Indianapolis and Pittsburgh to look to see what peer cities were doing in economic development. And we saw a very stark contrast by the numbers that Columbus was not up to snuff as it related to peer city economic development and job growth. We saw that we were falling behind in wage growth. And we started asking ourselves the question, how do we get better? And we put a plan together. We literally spent the better part of a year socializing that plan with thousands of residents from throughout Columbus to ultimately come up with Columbus 2020. Now, 8 years later, Columbus 2020 is on the verge of breaking the record books in job creation and capital investment during a decade period of time. We set a series of goals that were very specific of creating 150,000 net new jobs, $8 billion of capital investment, personal income growth of 30%, in being named a top 10 community in economic development. Well, by the numbers, Columbus is one of the fastest growing economies in the country. We are now consistently ranked in the top 10, and on occasions, the top one or two communities of greater than a million people for economic development. We all can see all around us the growth trajectory that Columbus is on. We would never say we did all of that ourselves or by ourselves. It was a massive collaboration of public and private leaders. And it's really that collaboration that mixes up the public and the private sector that folks have turned to and pointed to as the secret ingredients. In fact, the Harvard Business School wrote a case study. They called it the Columbus Way. And they teach it now to mayors all over the world about one of the best examples they've seen in cities of private sector and public sector partnering together to get things done.
Can you talk a little bit more about that collaboration and how it might apply to communities beyond even the U.S.?
Yeah, you know, it starts with the premise that would say no government or no business can do community by themselves. It starts with that premise that says we're going to leave our selfish interest at the door, and we're going to be willing to at sometimes do things as a group that may be counter to our own individual interests, but a recognition that things can be better. It starts with a philosophy of civility, which is something that candidly in the last couple of years we've been struggling with as we look around the country and the divisiveness that's occurring in political circles, that says, you know, this isn't about being a Democrat or a Republican or a particular political persuasion, but it's about partnering with your neighbor, you know, for the good of your neighborhood and the good of your community in your city. But what I would say is it doesn't also happen overnight. There's not a formula. You can't take a formula that says, let's take a little bit of civility and a little bit of collaboration and mix it up between the publics and private. It's going to work. I mean, we've been practicing and have been at this for a long time. The partnership was created 18 years ago. Governor George Voinovich had challenged one of our greatest entrepreneurs and CEO leaders, Les Wexner, and John Wolfe, the publisher of the Columbus Dispatch, to create a CEO group, because he had been the mayor of Cleveland, and he had seen what happens when private sector's leaders collaborated with he as mayor. And he said, you all should consider doing something like that. And in the earliest days, they were just gathering, you know, five or six people for lunch, having conversation about what was happening around town.
And this was the original eight CEO group.
Yeah, this was the original, you know, wasn't even called a CEO group or partnership. It was, you know, a little more than a lunch group.
Okay.
And that graduated 15 years into deciding to formally organize into a CEO organization and having a dozen CEOs that would come together on a quarterly basis. You know, for the first 5 years of those gatherings, it was really kind of before my time, the Columbus Partnership was about anything and everything, focused on philanthropy and education and economic development and arts and cultural activities, you know, whatever CEO had a interest in or a passion for, they would bring it to the table and, you know, maybe, you know, discuss some ideas. In that process, though, they started gaining trust and they started developing relationships, even among people who had lived in the community for a really long time. They started building culture. So in this last decade, when we got after the real singular focus of economic development, we were doing it with a foundation of people who had built a lot of trust, who had built a reservoir of getting to know one another. And I think that's been a really important ingredient to our success, that culture of trust, that culture of a relationship.
So what needles or levers did they need to move? It's clearly the trust was the foundation to move them. And there's nothing like addressing a big problem to build that trust. Were there specific measures, it sounds like, you went after education, jobs?
They were, you know, in the early days, they were kind of going after a little bit of everything. And okay. again, any issue that might be out in the community, they might have raised their hand. Mm-hmm. But then we got jailed around a pseudo-crisis. Mm-hmm. And that crisis was the financial collapse of the
of
08.
Okay.
And that was really when I arrived on the scene. And I was at the research organization, Battelle. I had spent a different lifetime in the state of Tennessee as the mm-hmm. state's commissioner of economic development and as a deputy governor for Governor Don Sundquist. And during that collapse, nobody really knew where the bottom was. And a lot of those very initial CEOs that had been a part of the lunch group and mm-hmm. that had been a part of the group of 12 over the previous several years were asking themselves the question, what is Columbus's economic future? There were some instances in which Columbus had seen a few businesses threaten to leave, and they were curious around this idea of, you know, among this economic uncertainty, what's our future going to be?
Mm-hmm.
And that really started to then gel the partnership around a singular focus of economic prosperity. And by the way, I think there's a big lesson there.
Okay.
And I think that big lesson is that having a focus, especially when you have a group as diverse as now 65 or 70 CEOs working with political leaders at the State House and in Washington and at City Hall.
Civility does have to be a watchword, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, which would suggest that you really want to be, you know, focused on doing a few things
mm-hmm.
And doing them, you know, in a really concentrated way, in a way that mm-hmm. is measurable and tangible. And so we had a transition. We had a transition from, you know, the phone rings and we'll answer it, and whoever's asking us to do something mm-hmm. is well-intentioned and well-meaning,
mm-hmm.
and there's not a bad idea, and we want to help everybody, to a realization that said a CEO organization, a business group, probably has the best opportunity for success focusing on economic development and job creation. And we had to make some choices. In the process now, you know, nearly a decade later, we built a foundation of that focus that remains, but it also allows us then to consider doing some other things, which we have done along the way, that are related to economic development, but not necessarily a part of the core. So the lesson, I think, in a community or in a business is, look, you really have to know what you're about.
Just like any strategic plan.
Just like any strategic plan. And if you know what you're about and you know why you exist and you do that really well,
mm-hmm.
that will give you opportunities to do other things. But you never want to lose focus from the core, you know, mm-hmm. Fundamentals. Now, transformational change is happening all around us. And so that doesn't mean you stay singularly focused on one thing and you're not evolving as the times are evolving, which, you know, makes it challenging.
Well, and that was one of the things I assumed. You talked about benchmarking other cities, and what came out of it was this Columbus way. And one of the things that I love through some of my research is that the idea of positive deviance. We see who's doing things really interesting and well. We learn from them, but we never copy them. We come up with our own approach that really allows us to harvest and cultivate the resources we have and then be the ones that other people are emulating.
Yeah, you know, look, I think, you know, Les Wexner's often told me that, you know, curiosity is the heart of, you know, all good leaders. What we've had is a voracious appetite to be curious about what other cities are doing that works. Now, we're not afraid to copy it, and we'll copy it with attribution,
mm-hmm.
but we also have to recognize there is no formula. You have to, you know, Columbus is unique. We're unique in our size, our makeup, our industries, the fact that we have 150,000 college students, as many as per capita as almost any city in America. And so then you have to uniquely take those good ideas that you find. Mm-hmm. But you also said that, you know, the challenge of all leaders is when you become really good at something and you're operating, how do you also find the time to get out in the world or in your industry or other industries to learn from others? And so that's what we did in those early days, and that's been a hallmark of what we do. We do an annual retreat every year at the Kennedy School with our CEOs. This past year, it was all about disruption, bringing in people that could challenge us to say, this is how the world's changing, and you all as leaders in Columbus have got to make sure you're adapting.
So right now you are with Alex Fisher and Maureen Metcalf. Alex is the CEO of Columbus 2020. So I assume you're synthesizing everything you learn and what comes out as a Columbus version of how do we identify the gaps we have and amplify the brilliance and the strengths and the gifts that this community uniquely has.
Yeah, it's always uniquely Columbus and unique to Ohio and unique to this place and this time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know a single instance in which we've, you know, ported something back as a single formula. But now what do we have happening is we've got places like Seattle coming to visit us.
That's really exciting.
The, you know, former governor of their state that runs an organization that's similar to ours recently brought a group of CEO leaders to see us. And, you know, we've had leaders from lots of cities around the country that are doing the same thing we were doing a decade ago and are continuously doing. And look, I don't think that means that we've made it and we're done. I just think that means we're in the right quadrant because now it's a two-way street of both learning and sharing.
Columbus has been recognized in several different forums, ranging from being the global leader in the Intelligent Community Forum to the current designation as a smart city. Can you talk a little bit about, one, what is smart city and what happened that allowed Columbus to win this designation as the city in the country?
It is a tremendous honor and a great responsibility to be named by the U.S. Department of Transportation as the smart city. And smart city is a big term and easy to use by many. In this instance, it means that we're the test bed. We're the place that is going to think about the urban fabric and the plan for the city for the next 50 years in a different way. That we know that a kid born today won't need a driver's license in their lifetime. It's just simply a fact.
And That's both exciting and sad.
It's exciting and sad. And by the way, it's a provocative statement, I realize that. But if we're anywhere close to correct on the provocative statement, and you don't need a driver's license in the future, guess what the number one job in America is? A driver. And if that's not disruption that says you've got a whole different set of skills that are going to have to transform. By the way, the combustion engine is sort of done. Look at every car manufacturer, and some say 2022, 2025, 2028. I don't know if VW or Ford or General Motors, who's actually correct, but all of them are saying the same thing. We're moving to all electric vehicles. One, because they're a superior experience for the driver. Secondly, if you don't have drivers, and if you don't believe it, I can take you for a ride in my Tesla that recently drove me from my lake house to downtown Columbus for 28 miles without ever touching the accelerator. And so this change is happening all around us. What's that change going to look like? How we're going to adapt, how we're going to experiment is what smart cities is right in the heart of.
So one of the other competencies we talk about, leader of the future, is a 360-degree thinker. And as you talk about this, I'm thinking of all of the ripples from refining, fracking, insurance. If I'm not driving, insurance companies have...
That's right. I mean, you know, so if you're Columbus...
Policemen?
If you're Columbus and you're the home to Nationwide and State Auto and Motorist and Safelight and Grange and this conglomeration of insurance companies, then are we at bigger risk or less risk? Well, I like the idea that we're leaning in and jumping right in the middle of the conversation and trying to learn from it and make sure that we adapt.
Well, I'm proactively dealing from a business model perspective with how do we stay healthy long term?
Yeah, and how do you stay on top of these trends? So we are the number two tier one, tier two auto parts supply manufacturing community in America. But we don't make so many Internet of Things that go into the cars of the future. And we know the cars of the future are going to be less about bumpers and hubcaps, and they're going to be a whole lot more about artificial intelligence, about
the mirror,
about all of it, and the technology that is changing things. So will we evolve that manufacturing operations? You know, if you're a big place that makes drivetrains and combustion engines don't exist in the future and drivetrains don't exist, then are you going to be a place that's thinking about battery production and a place that's talking about electric motor production? And so smart cities is a designation. It's a great designation. It's a great test bed and testing literally dozens of various projects that are pushing the envelope. But it's also a platform to push us as a community to think about, where the future's going.
So I assume that those conversations are heavily interconnected. What you're talking about with disruption, what's happening with smart cities, what CEOs are talking about across the 2020 group and probably in subgroups about how are they thinking about their business so that they will be in business 5 years
totally
from now.
Totally interconnected. And let me bring it back to curiosity, because 2 years ago, we were on the West Coast. We did a trip out to Silicon mm-hmm. Valley. And, we went to Facebook and we were at Google. And one of the stops mm-hmm. we made was at Cisco. And John Chambers, who was then the chairman of Cisco, we were in his boardroom. And somebody asked the question, what city do you admire the most? And John Chambers said, I admire Barcelona because they're a smart city. It's the first time I had heard the term smart cities. It was before the competition. And we started saying, gosh, I wonder what's happening in Barcelona and how have they wired their city and what have they done with Wi-Fi? What are they doing with smart traffic lights and all sorts of things? When the smart cities competition came along from the U.S. Department of Transportation, and then freshman mayor Andy Ginther had this very bold idea that we should compete against 78 other cities and dared to believe that we could win, we thought it was a natural because we had been curious a few years earlier, scratching around and thinking about that question of what are cities that people admire doing.
And a few years ago, Columbus won the Intelligent Community Forum as well, or the Intelligent Community Award.
Yeah, another example of the notoriety that Columbus is beginning to get as a city of innovation. You know, we've long been home to the Ohio State University, one of the world's greatest land-grant institutions and multidiscipline research institutes. Battelle, headquartered here. Battelle founded the Xerox Corporation, the barcode scanner at Kroger. M&Ms don't melt in your hand, developed by Battelle, and on and on and on. We've been a community of innovation for a very long time, but we always haven't had the notoriety, and that is really dramatically beginning to change in this current era.
So let me take a shot at why does the notoriety matter?
Well, the notoriety matters if you want to be a community that's on the move. You've got to be known by others who would want to move to your city, who would want to stay in your city, who would be attracted to bring business to your city. And we've seen a real decade of transformation on that end. We're the 14th largest city. We're the third largest state capital. We're number one in job creation of cities greater than a million people over the last several years. We're the second largest city in the Midwest behind Chicago. But yet, some still have the stigma that Columbus is this sort of sleepy state capital university town. There's nothing sleepy about this place. It is on a move. And a part of being on a move is letting people know about the place and about the dynamics and the culture that have created it.
Well, and one of the things I've seen just because I've been part of it is the cross-group talent development that we see the aspiring technology leaders launched by the CIO Forum.
So economic development in the future, right now, it's all about a jobs war.
Okay.
It's all about talent. And the places that have the talent and that can recruit the talent and that can retain the talent are going to be the places that are going to grow.
Thank you. This is Maureen Metcalf and Alex Fisher. What are you hearing from others as they come to Columbus to learn from you?
Well, I think that, certainly anytime we have feet on the street here in Columbus, we impress. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes people don't have a opinion of Columbus, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, because that opinion is almost universally shaped as a positive one anytime we have people that are among us and visiting with us. I think people are extraordinarily impressed by how we keep pushing the envelope in learnings from others. You know, our insatiable appetite for wanting to think about how to get better and how not to rest on our laurels. I mean, we're at the top of our game right now. And yet we are in the current process of asking how we completely turn things upside down to say, what's the next decade going to be from this new plateau of success?
Well, and it seems like, hearkening back to a few minutes ago when you talked about disruption and Moore's Law and the rate of technology change and how that will ripple through our economy, that communities that will continue to thrive over the next decade, that's now a requirement.
And it's a requirement for communities, and it's a requirement inside companies. And so
Absolutely.
Then we have that intersection of company leaders who bring that attitude, because every one of our companies is in business because they're practicing this, right? Otherwise, they wouldn't be the success that they are. And we intersect it with that community willingness to try new things and push the envelope. And I think when that mixes up together, that's where real magic happens.
What I find so important is that what you're doing with 2020 and what we're doing across the community really is encompassing all sectors. It's not just business leaders or not just government leaders. It really is across community.
One of the things that happened as we grew the partnership is we grew it to include some key institutions, the Ohio State, Columbus School of Art and Design, Columbus State, and you know, said, if talent's important, then you better have your university presidents and college presidents sitting at the table involved and active with you, you know, thinking about it, just as, you know, one example.
So what accomplishment are you most proud of in our community?
You know, I guess what I'm most proud of is not necessarily an accomplishment as much as it is a culture. And that is a culture that is very comfortable in operating in the gray space, a culture that is constantly pushing the envelope. By all estimates, the last 8 years have been the greatest economic expansion in Columbus's history. But we're not spending a lot of time celebrating. We're spending our time, you know, saying, okay, now from here, where do we go? And in this world that is changing really, really quickly, we could put our head down and just focus on the narrow, and instead we're sticking our head wide open, wide up, and focusing on the breadth of opportunities. And that excites me, and that makes me proud that we live in a city and in a community that does that. And by the way, when somebody externally, whether they're a CEO or a mayor from another city, comes to our community, I believe that's what sells them at the end of the day more than any tactic or strategy or individual activity that we might have achieved. That culture, that willingness to push the envelope, to be insatiably curious.
And collaborative
and civil. Look, I think, again, can't say it enough, in this era of political discourse, to be a place that's known for civility, that's not only known, but that is practicing it. We're not only practicing it, but the Harvard Business School is teaching how we do it to others, is something that differentiates us from a lot of others.
So I was at a lunch meeting today with the Columbus Metropolitan Club, and for people who don't know, it's a community education forum. And the speakers were Dwight Smith, CEO of a tech company, Kathy Krendel, CEO of and president of Otterbein University, and a gentleman who runs a nonprofit, and the focus was kindness and the neuroscience behind acts of kindness, that we are a community that is in conversation about civility and kindness, and how do we bring together people who are different points of view and collaborate.
I mean, I'm proud that Joyce Beatty, our Democratic Congresswoman, and Steve Stivers, our Republican, there are no two bigger Republicans or Democrats, have formed the Civility Caucus. And they're challenging fellow members of Congress to do what they do, come together, attend each other's fundraisers, be a part of the community that embraces the diversity of ideas. You know, at the end of the day, I bet they agree 85% of the time. And isn't that how life is with with your spouse or your business partner or whatever the case might be. And so we've got to not let differences rip us apart. We can't let extremism rip us apart. And that's one of the things we talk a lot about, and that we're trying to practice it. We're trying to emulate it. And we don't have it all right. It's work in progress.
Well, you know, one of the things, again, back to the leadership qualities, this idea of being innately collaborative means I need to pull different points of view, because none of us can know everything. So I have to be working with people who see the world differently.
I mean, and so then at the end of the day, that's why you want to have a broad table. You want to have a table of different perspectives. But it's not just the table. We go out to the community and engage in a variety of different settings, always trying to understand different perspectives from different viewpoints. And you never know where the nugget is going to exist.
So what is your biggest challenge and the partnership's biggest challenge? And I'm not sure they're the same going forward, near term and longer term.
Well, you know, one thing that we worry a lot about is how do we sustain this in a world that's changing a lot, in a world that sees CEOs come and go, in a world that sees political leaders constantly changing. How do we sustain leaders? How do we cross-pollinate it to younger leaders in the community? At the end of the day, how do we create culture and teach it and perpetuate it? Well, isn't that the same challenge that any corporate CEO would have, or any small business CEO or small business owner would have? How do I create culture, and how do I maintain it and perpetuate it?
Okay, great. Thank you. Our guest has been Alex Fisher. He's the CEO of the Columbus Partnership. Thank you for joining us. Coming up, I'll be speaking with Steve Greeter, the Director of Market Strategy for Central Ohio for Expedient. Stay with us.